Welcome to the Titletown Times, where we bring you all the best news out of 1265 Lombardi. I'm Nicholas Fargo here with my co-host, Robert Martin.
What is going on, Titletown?
What is going on, Packer Nation? So, preseason week one is in the books, and we have week two tomorrow, or even today, if you're listening to this tomorrow. I know that's kind of confusing, but you get what I mean. But first, we want to go through our week one reactions and impressions. So, I'm just going to start off by saying that while both quarterbacks ended up playing adequately, I still think DeShone Kizer is still way too inconsistent.
Yeah, you know, DeShone's always struggled with accuracy, and we saw it again the other night. I mean, the numbers don't bear it out, but his receivers bailed him out on a couple of those throws. He finished 8 of 13 for 102 yards with a touchdown, but accuracy, man, he's got to get more consistent.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Tim Boyle had himself a really nice night. A lot of people will probably focus on the Lazard TD, and deservedly so. It was a great touchdown, and he flexed on Lonnie Johnson. That was great. But he also made a throw on a bootleg earlier with a defender right in his face, and that was awesome to watch.
Yeah, it's always tough to have a defender just bearing down on you like that. It really shows your true colors and grit when you can do it. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers shows it every single day. So, you know what? I'm glad to see Boyle follow suit with that.
Yeah, I agree. And then also, did you have any reactions or impressions?
Still there? I'm not hearing you, Nick.
Yeah. Did you have any reactions or impressions?
I did. You know, one was Dexter Williams. I mean, obviously, he runs for 62 yards and 14 carries. You know, it's always hard to gauge when they're not going up against all the ones and whatnot. But, you know, he showed some flashes, showed some explosion in 4.4 yards a carry. I mean, for maybe our third string running back, I don't complain at this point.
Yeah, me neither. So I also had some on the wide receiver core. Jake Kumerow has to make this team. He made a couple of very good catches, and he's just been showing up all throughout camp.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I mean, one might argue that behind Davante Adams, he might be the one who's flashing the most. Kumerow, the one thing that I look at are targets and then catches. He was targeted twice. He caught two balls. I mean, nobody else on the entire roster or the wide receiver core had 100% success rate in that regard. And he just does it day in and day out. I don't understand why he doesn't get more involved, but maybe this is the year.
Yeah, I agree. Also, it was a rough night for Jimon Moore, but good for him for finding the end zone.
Absolutely. You know, it's got to do good for his confidence. I know he, you know, when you're battling yourself, sometimes you can be your biggest critic, and to fight those inner demons is actually worse than what's on the field. And poor Jimon Moore. If any of our listeners ever YouTube this guy or watch some highlights, he's got some tools. This guy just flat out balled in college. So he's got it in him. It's just a matter of confidence and putting it on that field. But how long does one wait?
Exactly. And you got to think, like, with Shepard and Lazard showing up a little bit last night, and also the whole Kumerow thing, you got to wonder, is there space on this roster for Jimon Moore?
Exactly. Has the wide receiver room been any more crowded than this year? I mean, we've got a ton of talent at that position. Some of these guys are really not showing out as much as one has expected. You know, even J-Mo, I mean, or G-Mo, I thought he would come out a little bit more in camp. I haven't heard a whole lot. Grant moved to the slot, so it might be a little transition.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you've got him, and you also have MVS. I mean, I know that he's been working out with Randy Moss and different things, but I just haven't heard a lot. And I know that Rodgers is still getting used to that just superior speed and different things to get on the same page, but they just haven't clicked quite yet.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Once they get that chemistry flowing, I really think that that's going to be one heck of a combination right there. Rodgers to MVS for sure.
Absolutely. And if you really think about now with Kumerow coming on, that's a deadly top three. And I just have to give a shout out to my man, Darius Shepard. I mean, I'm from North Dakota. He's an NDSU boy. And Rodgers just gave him a shout out just the other day in an interview, really gave him some kudos for being in the right place at the right time and showing out every single day. I got to pull for a kid like that.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that was just one hell of a catch by Lazard for a touchdown, and the flex on Lonnie Johnson made it even better. Hashtag it's football.
Absolutely, man. Karma, karma, man. It works. It goes like that. You want to flex in a non-contact drill and act like you've never been there before? Get scored on, bro.
Yeah, no kidding. Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Absolutely.
And then I also had some notes on the young defenders. Kingsley Keke can definitely play.
He's got some shake, doesn't he?
For sure.
For that size, I mean, he moves really
well.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also noticed that Ty Summers started out hot, but then seemed to kind of lose steam later in the game. But that being said, it was still a really promising start for the guy.
Just imagine, you know, you come in, Texas Christian, you're a seventh-round draft pick. He comes in, puts up... 9 tackles in the first half, I believe. And you're right. He might have run out of gas, but I mean, can you ask for much more out of a guy? I mean, double-digit tackles in his first game. I mean, he's trending.
Exactly. And then Kadar Holman, he took advantage by a bad throw by Joe Webb. But, you know, it's a corner's job to take advantage of those bad throws. And his interception was awesome. It was a good job of getting in front of the receiver and taking the ball away.
Absolutely. And I think of, again, going back to karma, because this guy's been knocking down passes left and right in training camp. He's been defending even some of the best receivers in camp. And, you know, good for him to get an opportunity in the game and make a play. That was nice to see. Reward him.
Yeah, definitely. And then also Montrevious Adams did some great things.
Absolutely. You know, Montrevious Adams getting that shot, releasing Mike Daniels. It's his time to shine. I hope he seizes this opportunity because it's right in front of him.
Yep. And I also just want to note that Lane Taylor was the only starter along the offensive line to play on in that game. So you hear that Matt LaFleur says that Lane Taylor is in a position battle, like he's battling for his job, and that's gotta say some good things about Elgton Jenkins.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And you know what, the fact that that offensive line with just Lane Taylor playing at the in the starting group, they allowed no sacks. Our quarterbacks are clean for the most part. So I mean, nice showing for those guys, and you can never have enough depth, as we know.
Of course, especially with how hurt Rodgers has gotten the past 2 years. Like, improving that offensive line is a definite
Absolutely.
Must.
It just seems to me like there's just not enough linemen to go around. You look at the NFL, and that's the one position group in which you really can't afford too many injuries at all, because it seems like the backups, there's really a drop-off. So if we can get some quality depth, I mean, this team has a real upside. And it's going to start with that offensive line, at least on the offensive side of the ball, right?
Yeah, I mean, a prime example is when David Bakhtiari was down and they had to rely on Jason Spriggs in there, and that was just terrible to watch. And I'm an Indiana guy, and I was pulling for him, but
yeah,
he really let us down.
Absolutely, and you know what? The proof was in the pudding with Spriggs. I know you're an Indiana guy, and I was pulling for him too, because you know it's not like it's not like he doesn't have talent. I think we could all admit and at least acknowledge that the guy has some good feet. He's very athletic for his size and frame, but it just didn't click for him here. So you know what? Maybe just a new hit the reset button, find another job with another squad. Maybe he can turn it around. It just wasn't going to work out in Green Bay.
Yeah. And then I also wanted to note improvement by J.K. Scott. Now, he enjoyed a really good night, especially on that punt that ended up as a Packers touchdown. Kiki Kute couldn't get a read on the ball, and it resulted in a muffed catch. And Equanimeous St. Brown grabbed the ball and took it into the end zone.
Awesome to see our special teams come through with a play, right? I mean, our special teams has really gotten the the cold shoulder, because they just haven't made a lot of plays lately with Ron Zook. Thank God he's gone. But that particular punt, that was a booming punt. I think it sent him backwards. It had to have been at least 10 yards. I mean, I think that was as long as 56 yards. You know, he averaged 45.6 yards a punt this last time. So, hey, if he can continue that, we would, that's net, by the way. We would take it, right? We would take it.
Yeah. Also, that hang time on that punt was just insane.
Absolutely. That thing seemed like it came from, like, the stars. So he's got ability to just absolutely just boom the ball. What he needs to work on again.
It's just got to be consistency.
Be consistent.
Mm-hmm. And then also I noticed, like, there were some issues with tackling later in the game. And I know it's not the ones out there, but it just kind of makes me a little bit nervous. Like, it makes me wonder if this team really does practice tackling at all.
Yeah, you know, with the new collective bargaining agreement is so tough on that sort of thing anymore. And I just don't understand. I get the fact that these are large, you know, freaks of nature just flying around the football field and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you got to practice your craft. And if you're not tackling in practice here or there, it's going to show up on the field. And I just don't like the way this is going with the NFL, because I'm seeing missed tackles across the board. This isn't a Packers thing. If you really pay attention, tackling is down across the board.
It's like Vince Lombardi said, grab, 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 no tackling.
That's right. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That man.
What the hell is going on?
That was so telling. What the hell's going on out here? Yep. All right. Well, did you have any other takeaways from this game?
No, I think you hit them. I liked our secondary. You know, we didn't get a lot of sacks, but our secondary, it just seems to me like, from what I'm hearing, there's not a lot of separation happening with these receivers, and I'm really liking the stickiness of some of these guys. And one of the guys that we need to maybe talk about a little bit is Tony Brown. I mean, that dude is balling.
Oh yeah, he's been making plays left and right.
He's getting praise from Aaron Rodgers and the rest of some of these key guys. And I think once you earn that respect from some of the guys that, let's say, walk around with the heavier hand, if you will, hey, he's got a lot of upside. And from what I'm hearing, he's like a really emotional guy, kind of a locker room guy. People will gravitate to him. He's really,
oh, yeah,
really, really tight. I think Aaron Rodgers said something about you don't need to motivate Tony Brown. He comes motivated. And the other thing he said in the interview that I really liked was he's one of the first ones at work, and he's one of the last to leave. This dude's put in time. Don't forget on Tony Brown.
I like that. Yeah, good for him, because honestly, when you think about it, like, he comes from Bama. You would expect him to be like, oh, I played at Bama. Like, I'm my roster spot is safe. And I'm just like, hold up, rookie.
Exactly. And, like, you know, Tony Brown, when he was a rookie last year, correct? Because he made a couple plays last year, that a couple bonehead plays, if you remember right, where he got a personal foul one time that was late, hit a guy late. And another one, he was celebrating and he got a penalty there too after he made a play. I thought he was gonna get cut. I was like, dude, do not lose your head out here. You got all sorts of ability. Don't get the pink slip because you're a clown. And you know what?
Nope.
I think he's fixed it and kind of turned that around a little bit, and he's looking forward, but he's making plays.
Yeah. That's definitely a second year jump if I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
One.
And he's got a real chance not only to make this roster, but he's gonna be on this field.
Oh yeah. I definitely agree with that for sure. I think his Madden rating of 68 is just blasphemy.
Absolutely. So with that being said, where does that leave Josh Jackson? You know, he's come off of that foot injury. Now he's just getting some time now. But is he sweating a little bit watching some of this stuff happening in his absence? Or is he safe? I mean, I know he's safe to make the roster. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking, you know, time-wise. Tony Brown's knocking on that door. You know, Holman's knocking on that door.
Well, I think it's more safety of, like, our depth. Like, we have a lot of depth at corner, finally. And with Josh Jackson, the talent is there. It's just he has to adjust to playing in a man-to-man scheme. At Iowa, they played primarily zone.
Yeah, and when you do that, it seems to me like when people come from zone schemes into a man-to-man, they get awfully grabby. And so he's got to work,
yeah,
on his hands a little bit. I'm going to take you back a little bit to a guy by the name of Ahmad Carroll. He drafted him, and I swear they had to put boxing gloves on him during practice because he could not stop grabbing people. So literally to work on his hands, yeah, they put boxing gloves on him. And Josh Jackson, he's a grabby sucker, boy. You watch him, he's holding all over the place. But again,
like
you said, let's get used to the man-to-man D. And you know what? It's the second year in it, so hopefully we'll see a big jump. I like Josh Jackson.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh yeah, I was advocating for us to get him in the first round before we got Jair. I thought he was a first round pick.
Same.
I mean, that was one heck of a draft, though, for sure. Getting Jair and Josh Jackson in the same draft is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. And, you know, with that young infusion of talent on the defensive side of the ball, it looks like we've done it again. Darnell Savage and Rashawn Gary, I mean, we got a real chance here. And maybe Ty Summers, who knows? But and it goes on, right? Kiki and the rest. But I saw something today. I don't know if this is the time, but I saw where we're ranked. I know this is probably not worth a hill of beans, but
I saw this article too.
9 in the NFL on defense. I was like, oh my god, if this defense can keep us in games, I tell you what, I like my chances with 12 under center. If he stays healthy, we're gonna have a chance to win a lot of games this year.
I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone as I was reading that, just like, wow, top 10 defense.
Exactly.
What?
Could you imagine if our defense could do? I mean, it seems to me like every team has a handful of weeks in which the offense just doesn't click and the defense has to kind of just keep them in a game, and then hopefully the offense can find a way at the end or whatever. And our defense just hasn't been that defense for a while now. But if they can be a top
– Since that Super Bowl season. Yeah,
absolutely. And even before that, you know, you talk about how iron sharpens iron. I can only imagine this practices. If you can just imagine our offense going against our defense every single day, that iron sharpens iron, brother. I mean, that's got to be the case.
Also, Za'Darius Smith just keeps impressing in camp from what I've been hearing. He beat David Bakhtiari again in one-on-one.
Absolutely. So I think he's probably, as far as I know, at least the last three times now he's beaten him. So if he's beaten Bakhtiari like that, I mean, no one else does that I've seen.
Yeah, no kidding. So... Oh,
and
man.
We don't even know about it.
And here I was just...
We don't even know.
Here I was just mad about us not getting Khalil Mack last year. Then we end up getting Za'Darius Smith a week later. I'm not saying that Za'Darius Smith is Khalil Mack. No, but he's a lot more affordable than Khalil Mack and can have an impact on this defense.
Absolutely, and he has a bigger impact than just him being himself there, because we, you know, he doesn't have a Khalil Mack contract. And I'm not saying he's not getting paid, but he's not getting paid Khalil Mack money. So therefore... We have some,
exactly.
Dollars that we can move around. And, you know, when I talk to a lot of people about, like, the Packers, for example, especially if they're not Packer fans, it can be very frustrating for me, because they automatically assume that Aaron Rodgers' contract is a salary cap hell type of contract. And if people would really pay attention, this is so backloaded. It's actually a team-friendly deal, but they don't understand the cap.
Exactly. They don't know how Russ Ball really worked his magic with that deal.
And he really did. And honestly, Aaron Rodgers is a smart, smart man. The dude went to Berkeley. I mean, let's be honest. So he's not going to sit there and put his team through something. I mean, granted, they're all out to chase that dollar, but he also needs supporting cast or he's going to get killed out there.
I'm just glad that he got his money before Dak Prescott is wanting to get
Absolutely.
His.
Can you imagine saying no to $30 million a year when you're Dak Prescott? Dude, you're not Jordan Namath.
Exactly.
Wow.
Asking for $40 million a year when you're Dak Prescott. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, he's made the playoffs a few times, but...
That's right, but... I just
he's only one playoff game.
I just get such a chuckle when they have some disarray in Dallas, and right now with Dak and Elliott, you know, Elliott's threatening to sit out the entire season, so I'm kind of like, hey, let's just let this thing keep rolling. I love it.
And I've heard some things about Amari Cooper,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah, they have some big contracts coming up, don't they?
Yeah, they do. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about what players we're going to be watching tomorrow in preseason week 2 against the Baltimore Ravens. So stay tuned for that. And we're back, folks. And as we know, the Packers have a game in Baltimore tomorrow night, and they are already in Baltimore right now. I saw the pictures on Facebook.
They are off the bus.
Yes, they are. Well, off the plane, but...
Off the plane, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Off the plane.
Yeah. But here we both have 5 different players that we are going to be observing tomorrow. Robert, why don't you start off with your first player?
Okay, my first player is, the obvious one, Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be his first in a new offense under Matt LaFleur. And what a test. Baltimore brings this tough unit, and we'll see if he opens up that playbook a little bit, or if it's get some good work in quick and get out. Although he did say that they may play up to a full quarter, so he might get the ball three times.
Yeah, I agree. Rodgers is definitely going to be someone to watch. He's always someone to watch for sure. But for my first player, I'm going to go Dexter Williams, the rookie running back. Now, he was easily the best looking running back Thursday night versus Houston. He was quick, made his cuts, and ran downhill. Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are a little banged up right now, and I know Jones made his return to practice on Saturday, but considering his injury history, I think the pack will want to bring him along slowly, and that leaves Dexter Williams with a huge opportunity to get real game action with the first string offense. Trey Carson was the starter Thursday night, but you'd have to think after his performance, Williams earned the chance should Jones be held out.
Absolutely agree. And with Dexter Williams, he's got a very similar skill set to Jamal Williams. Very, very similar in a lot of ways. Dexter Williams has a real chance here to open those eyes and honestly probably even bang on the door of that backup job if he keeps putting out these kind of performances. I mean, again, 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, for sure. And that means more work with Rodgers and, more importantly, against a first-string defense. Now, if Williams can have the same type of night with a few of his snaps coming against the Ravens' first-string unit, his roster spot will become a little bit more secure.
Absolutely. And he's also going to have the benefit of some bigger dogs up front, too, more talent. So going against the ones, being behind the ones. So we're going to see how it all plays out tomorrow night.
I agree. Who's your next player?
My next player is Mason Crosby. And the reason I brought in our kicker is because, you know, he's been hurt this spring. And he is in a so-called kicking battle. And I guess I'm not really sure if how serious they are with Thicken or not. However, anytime somebody boots a field goal from 64 yards out in a family night, I think it opens your eyes to say, oh, my God, this guy has a pretty good leg.
Yeah.
He's shown somewhat of a consistent leg. I mean, he has missed a few in training camp, but Mason does seems to do that as well. So if he's in a true competition, I'm watching him. He needs to put the ball through the uprights and stay healthy.
I agree. After the year that Crosby had last year, it is essential that he shows out in training camp.
Yes.
My next player is Darius Shepherd, wide receiver. Now, Davante Adams, Geronimo Allison, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling seem to have their spots locked on the 53-man roster, and Jake Kumerow seems like the best bet to win the number four position. After that, who knows? Jamon Moore has literally and figuratively dropped his chance, and will give us an idea of how patient Brian Gutekunst will be with the players he picked come around cut time. And then, despite having a strong offseason, Trevor Davis is hurt again with a tricky injury and a neck stinger. And then that gives Darius Shepherd and Alan Lazard the perfect opportunity to step in and grab a spot. Now, Shepherd and Lazard each caught a touchdown pass in the game versus the Texans, but it has been Shepherd who has been the one getting snaps with Aaron Rodgers and the first-team offense in practice. In fact, Shepherd was receiving some first-team snaps prior to the game against Houston. While his stats for the game weren't impressive, one catch, 14 yards, one touchdown, and one punt return for 4 yards, Shepherd's lone catch was a tough grab coming off a scramble that he's likely to see with Rodgers. And after making that catch, Shepherd took a big hit to the back of the neck slash head area, and he held on for the score. Now, Shepherd is also a different type of receiver than the Packers have on their roster. With most of the guys being 6'1" or bigger, Shepherd is 5'11", and he would fit the more prototypical slot receiver. Shepherd also offers skills as a returner should Davis's injury be severe or he doesn't make the team.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about it is you talked about Gutekunst and his willingness to maybe go off the script of the people that he drafted. I tell you what, Matt LaFleur also said in his post-practice interview just the other day, maybe even today, that, or yesterday it was actually, that he's going to reward guys that show out every single day. And Shepherd's been doing that. And he, one thing about Shepard is you have to remember, we just lost a guy in this last season from our slot. You might have heard of him, Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Darius Shepard looks a lot like Randall Cobb in a lot of ways.
I agree.
Even his body type, maybe just a little bit slower in the 40 and different things, but he plays a little faster. And one thing that you can't put, you can't quantify is this dude is a winner. And I'm from North Dakota, and I get that North Dakota State University is a small school, but they've won the FCS how many years, right? 7 years.
Exactly.
So this is a championship caliber hardened dude. So he comes in with a winning mentality. He doesn't know what it's like to lose. And I don't know why that doesn't get more play, but this guy's a winner. That's all he knows. Let's get this guy in to see if he can do it at the NFL level. So far, so good.
Yeah, I agree. For sure. Who is your next player?
I actually put down Preston Smith. And the reason I put him down, he is another big free agent acquisition we picked up for our defense. He's going to be, along with Rashawn Gary, a bookend with Za'Darius Smith. And he's been hurt. So I guess I just want to see. And I honestly, I don't even know if he's going to play. I think he's back. So I'm curious to see how many snaps he's going to actually get and what his burst looks like. It's been kind of a quiet training camp for him. So I haven't heard of too many splash plays there. And but I've been hearing that Rashawn Gary is just tearing it up. I didn't necessarily see that the other night so much for Rashawn. I know it's only one outing. I'm not going to, you know, keep him just to that. But I'm just interested to see if Preston Smith has that juice, because if he does, you know the guy on the other side does. And that's what I want to see. I want to see two just absolute beasts, knowing that you got Rashawn Gary waiting. So if Preston Smith can bring the juice, just this defense is scary.
Yeah, I agree. But my pick for my third pick is Montrevious Adams. Now, I wanted to put Kingsley Keke in here, but with him nursing a quad injury, there's no telling if he'll play. Keke looked quick off the snap and like he could add something to the pass rush as a rookie. So I'm going with a guy who will be relied on more to do the same, Montrevious Adams. Adams looks slimmer and explosive this year, and he has earned praise from Mike Pettine, as we discussed last week, all off season, and has made the team feel comfortable enough to cut Mike Daniels. I really liked Adams coming out of Auburn, and feel he is now starting to come to form and show what made him a third-round draft pick. Now, even with slimming down a good 10 to 12 pounds this offseason, Adams still looks and is playing strong. We should get a look at how strong this week. The Ravens will likely run the ball a lot and give us a good idea of how Adams will hold up against a more power-based scheme. Should an injury occur on the D-line, Adams will be the first off the bench and will need to be able to use his quickness and power in the run game as well as the pass game.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. You know, when he was at Auburn, some of the naysayers said that he played a little bit of a high pad level. But you're with good coaching at the NFL level, we're seeing some of that get corrected. He's got a quick first step and his hands are violent. So at the end of the day, if he can play in the backfield and give us that added punch from the bench or whatever the case may be due to injuries or whatever, we need Montrevious Adams. We lost a little bit of depth, obviously, with Mike Daniels. But with this new regime, he just didn't fit the mold with his body type. They went to the bigger, longer-armed person, and Keke and Montrevious are both that. So yeah, I'm looking for Montrevious as well, but I could only pick five.
Right. Speaking of which, who is your next player?
We've already talked a little bit about him, but Josh Jackson. You know, he has to feel like the proverbial seat is getting a little bit warm. Not necessarily to make the 53, but you know, there's been talk about, well, where does he fit? He came from this zone scheme in Iowa. Is he a corner? Should we move him to safety? But here's the thing. You got to remember that we've bolstered our safety group now, too. We brought in Darnell Savage. Raven Green is playing like his hair is on fire. We've got Campbell we signed, who he just excelled in Pettine's system. Even last year we had him for those games. He came on at the end. He played like out of his mind. So, I mean, we've got depth at the safety position. So where do you put Josh Jackson? In my mind, this guy has to step up and start, you know, take that second year jump that a lot of people do. And he may very well do that. I mean, the dude is very capable. But at the end of the day, you got to think, man, we got Tony Brown, we've got Campbell, we've got Kadar Holman, we've got a lot of guys who are making plays. This is a young, hungry team. And That's what I like the most. It doesn't seem like they're complacent or satisfied, and they're fighting for jobs. And Josh Jackson needs to realize that if he wants to play and be a significant figure, he's got to go now.
I agree completely. Again, Josh Jackson was one of my favorite prospects last year, and I hate being proven wrong with my takes. So I'm counting on Josh Jackson to prove me right.
Absolutely.
My next player is Elton Jenkins, the rookie guard that we drafted. One of the two listed offensive starters to play against Houston was Lane Taylor, like I said earlier. Matt LaFleur, again, stated Taylor was in a battle for his job, and Elton Jenkins is his main competition. Taylor is coming off of a bad 2018 season, and the Packers took Jenkins in the second round of the 2019 draft as a result. So far in camp, Jenkins has been as good as advertised. He has quick feet, anchors well in the pass game, and has the agility needed for the zone scheme LaFleur runs. Now, with Lucas Patrick and Justin McCray also playing well on the interior, Taylor will have to be head and shoulders better than Jenkins in order to make the roster.
Yeah, who would have thought we'd be at this point? I mean, 2 years ago, Lane Taylor was rewarded for playing, you know, so soundly. But you're right. Last year, it was a down year for sure. And hence, Jenkins gets on the draft board for us. He fits the zone scheme very well, like you've described. You know, he's very great anchor. He's got the ability to drive people in the run game. It seems like he's fairly sound in the pass game, although I think there's a little bit of room to grow there. But at the end of the day, you're right. Lane Taylor better step it up, or he may be the odd man.
Yeah, if Jenkins shows he's ready to play this year, Taylor could find himself with a new team after cuts. Now, the Ravens give the Packers the perfect fit to track Jenkins' progress. Baltimore always has a well-coached and ready defense, able to just throw just about everything at Jenkins, even with the vanilla schemes teams run in the preseason. Now, if I'm Coach LaFleur, I want to see my first team offensive line with Rodgers in a game before the opener. It's all but guaranteed Rodgers won't play in the fourth preseason game. So if that's the case, Jenkins will need to be in there this week or next.
Absolutely. And the one thing about Baltimore is most teams will go to a very vanilla, simplistic scheme. And Baltimore will too. However, watch for the twists and the different things on the defensive line. They'll still throw that out quite regularly. And they will bring some heat. They will blitz because that's what they are. That's what they've always been. So at the end of the day, this is a great test for our offensive line and a great test for Rodgers too. So that's one of those things. I just can't wait to see it. It's a great opponent for this this team at this time.
All right. And who is your final player that you'll be watching?
My final player is Ty Summers. Now, we all know that he had a great first half last week against the Texans. If he can build on that performance and show Mike Pettine and obviously LaFleur that he's just one of those guys that's going to be around the ball and he's going to be in the position to make these kinds of tackles. I mean, if we can have two inside backers, you know, getting 140 tackles, we're going to be doing all right. And honestly, we need somebody next to Blake Martinez. We've needed it for some time. We thought it was Burks, still may be at some point in time, but unfortunately just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So Ty Summers, 7th-round pick, Texas Christian, has a great opportunity in front of him to really turn heads. I love what the Packers are doing with him right now. They're not throwing him up the roster, the depth chart so quickly. They're making him earn it, and he's being treated like a 7th-round pick. You better believe that right now. I don't think his head has gotten too big because he still is not taking first-team reps in practice. Bolton is. But Ty Summers has a real chance here to show everyone that wasn't a flash in the pan, and he's the real deal. Up to Ty at this point.
I agree with that. I'm looking forward to Ty Summers as well. I heard that he has good sideline to sideline speed for someone of his size, so I'm looking forward to seeing that, and hopefully he can improve on his coverage skills, because I know that Martinez is more of a thump in the run game kind of guy. But we also need, especially in a 3-4 defense, you need one inside linebacker to be the coverage linebacker. You need one of them to man the run game, at least in my philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's no different than even in the back end. You have, you know, your free safety and you have a strong safety for a reason. So they have to complement each other. Did we do that with Amos and Savage? Likely we did. If you look at the inside backer position, and maybe, just maybe, Ty Summers is that really solid backup to Blake. Because if Ty Summers is a tackling machine, maybe that's what he is. I guess time is going to tell that on the coverage ability, but we know that if he can't cover, we know what Blake has given us over time. Blake really is a thumper. And you're absolutely correct on that. You have to have somebody that can have some semblance of a coverage skill. Well, I guess time will tell if that's Ty or not.
All right. So I kind of cheated with my fifth player. I chose two players, Deshaun Kizer and Tim Boyle. I'll be watching them both very closely. The importance of the backup quarterback has been highlighted in the past 2 years. In 2017, of course, Aaron Rodgers missed half the season with a broken collarbone. And in 2018, a knee and concussion injury forced the backups into action. Now, in each instance, the backups were not able to keep up the pace of the offense, and the team suffered for that. Deshaun Kizer and Tim Boyle both got off to slow starts, but picked it up and looked more comfortable the longer they were in there. Rodgers will start, leaving limited playing time to the backups. Kizer and Boyle will have the rest of the game divided up, with Manny Wilkins getting scraps, if anything at all, meaning neither will have time to start slow. They both need to hit the ground running from the moment that they enter the huddle and show the team what they have. With some tough battles going on elsewhere on the roster, it's possible the team only keeps two quarterbacks on the active roster, with one on the practice squad, so there could only be one spot for these two players. Kizer or Boyle need to take a stranglehold on the position and make the choice easy for the Packers.
Absolutely. And I think between the two, I believe only Boyle would even be eligible for the practice squad. So that kind of limits that. With Kizer and Boyle, the reality is this: if the Packers defense shows out the way people think they might and have that, and they have so far, I know it's early, they don't really have to go in and be Aaron Rodgers. I think we could all agree to that. That would be foolish to think. However, if they can keep us in the ball game, maybe if they can get us 14 to 17 points in a ball game, you know what? We might have that defense to win a few of those games. And at the end of the day, sometimes if it's especially if it's not a major injury where Rodgers is sidelined for a year, God forbid, a week or two. Sometimes if you just get one of those games, that's the saving grace of the season. So they do need to produce, though, when they're in the game and it counts in a regular season game. If God forbid Rodgers is not out there, they got to be able to do something.
I agree completely. So what are you mainly looking for in tomorrow's game?
I want to see improved tackling. And I know that's difficult. We've talked about it with the CBA and how they practice tackling now, or should we say don't practice. They're more busy tackling, rolling donuts on the practice field right now. But at the end of the day, I want to see sound tackling. I want to see people breaking down and making the play. I want to see guys getting to the ground, guys flying to the ball. I'd love to see our I'm kind of a defensive guy, so I'll tell you that right up front. But I'd love
Same
to
here.
Keep that nose for the ball. We took away the ball a few times. If we can continue to do that, I think we took it away four times, did we not? Four times. If we can do that again. So, I mean, I'm looking for some of that. Everybody preaches the same thing. You know, we practice taking away the ball. We want to be ball hawks. We practice this. We stress this. We emphasize this. Well, you know what? The Packers do too. They've gotten three or four turnovers in the first game. Can they do that again? And I'm just salivating, waiting for tomorrow. I just can't even wait, because if they can take that ball away again, just look out. This defense, they just look ferocious to me.
I agree completely, but I'm looking forward to watching the offense and seeing if there's any semblance of anything new, because I know that teams like to be vanilla in the preseason. However, I'm wanting to know if LaFleur's definition of vanilla is different than McCarthy's definition of vanilla.
Yeah, won't that be interesting? I know for a fact that this is probably taboo for Titletown Times, but the Vikings' first preseason game, if you watched any of that, they had Cousins doing tons of rollouts, and you never saw that during the season. So they made some adjustments. He's on the run now. He's getting outside the pocket, believe it or not, and throwing the ball. Actually looked quite good doing it. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins would do that.
Right. But, you know, they brought in Kubiak and whatever, and I know this isn't about the Vikings. My point being is that I would love this. I want to see LaFleur's flavor on with Rodgers on the field? What does that look like? Is it that bunch formation? Is he going to scheme people open, or is it going to be the same old one-on-one battle that McCarthy always stressed we had to win all the time? And really, other than Davante Adams, we couldn't win one-on-ones. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. I hope it's scheme.
Yeah, I hope so too. And with him coming from the Shanahan system and also the McVay system, I would suspect that it's more about scheme than one-on-one battles. But I guess time will tell for sure.
Yeah, and we've been really spoiled as a fan base. I hope people who ever listen to this podcast realize how spoiled we are as Packers fans. We've got probably the best quarterback that's ever played, arguably. And he can put the ball in any tight window he wants. Therefore, he does. And we don't get the separation that other teams do. We don't know what it's like to have Davante Adams running down the sideline on a busted coverage and there's nobody within 30 yards. Rodgers has to put it between three guys, and it's always a tight window. And we've been blessed that we got the guy to do it. But if we can get a scheme in which guys can get a little separation, we're unstoppable.
Hopefully no Patriots fans listen to this, because a lot of them come up to me talking about like how Aaron Rodgers needs to win another ring before he can even be considered in the GOAT category.
Patriot fans can pound sand.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see how they act when Tom Brady retires in like 2 years.
Absolutely.
See if Bill Belichick can do it on his own.
Absolutely. You know, I do respect Bill Belichick, but I still think that there's an asterisk there. He's a mastermind, but they've done some shady things. They're not scared to push that envelope.
Yeah. I agree completely. Well, anyways, we got a fun game coming tomorrow. I know it's still just preseason, but we're finally going to get a look at the starters, and I am just absolutely looking forward to it.
I think we should keep this momentum going with Matt LaFleur, and he's just starting his regime. Let's win another preseason game. Let's go 2-0 and get this ball kind of rolling a little bit. Let people realize that we're coming, right?
And most importantly, let's not get hurt.
Absolutely. No injuries.
None at all. Please. I still remember when Jordy Nelson got hurt in a preseason game against the Steelers in 2015.
I almost cried. And I remember my wife was watching that next to me, and I said to her, you know, he did come off the field on his own power and kind of almost jogging, but you could tell that something wasn't quite right. And I looked at her, I said, I don't think it's good. At the time, we didn't know it was an ACL until a few, maybe 10 minutes later when the announcer said, but I just had this weird feeling, and unfortunately, I was right on that one.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, anyways, everybody, that's our episode for this week. Tune in next week where we will review the game, and then we will preview the next game that will be in Canada versus the Oakland Raiders. All right, everybody. You guys take care, and go Pack, go.
Always.